CITR 101.9 FM, located on Coast Salish, unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkminum speaking Musqueam people. Episode 44. Welcome. We got a special guest in the place. But first, off that new Kumasi, Washington, Street Fighter Mass. Stay tuned.
I'm sad, I need to be wise. Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact.
CITR 101.9. This is the Ninth Wave Radio. Your host, A-Ro. The song after Kamasi Washington was Shape of Things to Come by Flacco. After that was Throwing Shade by Macego and Medicine. And the song you're currently listening to is a random SoundCloud poach off. Shouldn't use the word poach. Acquirement off the boy Jake Milner's SoundCloud. In the studio today, we got Claire Mortifee and also Chelsea MacArthur on last minute special delivery. We're going to get into a little bit of conversation in a little bit. Stay tuned. Next track by Crown City Rockers called Culture. The frontman of this group, Rashan Ahmad, just played Jazz Fest on Sunday at David Land Park. I was unable to catch the set, but heard from the reliable word of Sangeeto Bigelow that it was rockin'. So I decided to dig in the crates and pull out the song that I've always enjoyed. Check it out. We'll be right back.
closer, which means that I'm able and supposed to visualize and rise to any level I hope to. Sculpture scripts written down to make them future. Change how it could to the science that you used to. Produce the loop to enchant ancestors' vibes. Spirits of died indigenous tribes. I lie inside, provide all. Word to graffiti on the wall. Glyphs tell stories of where that you are. Easy now, stars stand still, running through your veins. Joy and pain, loss and gain, ghetto and fame. Sun and rain, like my spirit can't be contained. And so it break out of the same, combine with others to frame my culture. That's the truth in the truest form, like my son being born. Adding on to the strong, like a break in the song. Lay the foundation of what I stand on. A hip-hop song, come on, that's culture. Tradition, fruition, the past combined with presence and future to meet on the path. Check the math and the generations. It's the problem with politicians we facing. They got no culture. Missionaries into small villages with posters. Images that ain't God. Civilized the savage on average. The people were safe and sound way before they was found. And that's world renowned and prayer sound and chant. From Brazil to France, river dance to B-boy stance. We all enhanced by the flow. My uncle Clarence to Geronimo. Heartbeat to the flow of drums in the Congo. Oh, culture. My culture.
Just like the Cardinals, the Cubs are just like the Broncos. And you can say what you want until you're red in the face. Go back and forth forever while we spinning in space. What I prefer, don't have to state my case.
K-Rec featuring Serengeti, Synchronicity, CITR 101.9.
I'm on the dance floor. Gotta like yourself, or at least get some help. Save me like that Superman song fell. It's all fine, just get out of your damn mind. The sound of a wind chime, cool breeze, bedtime, relax. I'm really not giving you facts. I'm speaking like I'm really feeling, no turning back. Yeah, so let's practice to make shit terrific with actions and less exclusive like abstractions. More like fuck, getting trimmed up in supercuts, way out in the sticks. Rocking a hat, driving lift. The setting goals important, another step towards forward. All them gripes like a cold, boring forest. Mad boring, you can't save your life through touring. Your life can't be saved by your friends, Frank and Warren. It's like time and herpes spread around the bachelor cast. Fella was so charming, ladies loved his hands and calves. Made a mean, hot and sour soup. Wore those leg boots, made it hard to really drive a coupe. Cubs are just like the Celtics. And the Cubs are just like the Royals. The Cubs are just like the Cardinals. The Cubs are just like the Lakers. The Cubs are just like the Yankees. The Cubs are just like the Broncos. The Cubs are just like the Tigers. The Cubs are just like the Cubs.
We are the Midwest. Just live your life. We're not Kansas. We're not Nebraska. We're not Lincoln.
CITR 101.9. We're in the studio with Claire.
Hi.
And Chelsea.
Hello.
Chelsea, may want your headphones. And I welcome you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were able to come and talk with me and
me too.
Yeah, perform some music. First question I like to start off with is, who are you?
My name is Claire Mortefee, and I am an alternative R&B singer and songwriter, born and raised in Vancouver. I live in Toronto now, and grateful to be here with you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here as well.
For those who don't know, me and A-Row go way back.
Way back. Yeah, it's kind of interesting approaching this. I mean, for the most part, I've approached my questions from the standpoint of me wanting to have the listeners discover you, some stuff that I already know, but also trying to articulate that in a way that allows us to communicate without it sounding like we're complete strangers. But there are also things that I don't necessarily know and that maybe could be further explored. One is, and I know maybe know some, but early inspiration, like as far as you, I think when I met you, you were still in high school. You had been doing like songwriting workshops like
true.
Semi-frequently and writing like a lot of
piano
ballads, which were amazing. Like, I, you know, some of that stuff I still listen to. But like in coming into music and coming into that version of Claire's creations, what was the early inspiration there? And like what was listened to at home? Like, you know, because obviously parents always have an influence on what we.
Steely Dan.
Right? some yacht rock AOR stuff.
You know. I listened to a lot of Feist, actually, back in the day. Amy Winehouse, too, in high school. Like Broken Social Scene, Metric. Mm-hmm. I was re-listening to Metric the other day in the shower. Those are some feminist anthems. Shit, I did not pick up on how dope some of that stuff is. So, shout outs. Yeah. Wolf Parade. Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
That was kind of like high school. And then I loved kind of, you know, all the Beyoncé's and Destiny's Childs. But I didn't even hear the experience that is Neo Soul until you really introduced me to Erykah Badu.
I appreciate it.
In Slum Village. I fucking appreciate you, buddy. Changed my life. I think within a couple months, I knew all of her songs off by heart. It really did change. So,
you grew up, you went to private school. Mm-hmm. What, and during that time, you know, there's a lot of coming into, and I'm sure you're still coming into yourself.
Definitely.
And discovering who you are. But like, what, for instance, what about private school made it kind of difficult to explore yourself during that time, and what about it? What were some maybe takeaways from that time?
I mean, yeah, going to a private school and being artsy and queery, you know, it was there was barriers, but it was kind of fun for me to push the barriers away, push the boundaries. After a series of events in grade 12, I ended up starting the Gay Straight Alliance, which is now the Gender and Sexuality Awareness Club. I'm so proud of the people at my school.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the first Gay Straight Alliance that any private school had in Vancouver, whereas it was mandatory in all the public schools. Not one private school had one, which I just thought was crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was mandatory
in public schools. Yeah. So there was definitely pushback from my school, but now it's more than just a registered club. It's like we have a Pride Week. There's trans kids at the school.
Beautiful.
We had our first out couple in my year. Yeah, it's good. The world's changing, but high school was what it was. I'm very grateful, honestly, for my school and for the community and for what the school was able to give me, and it helped me as well to learn how to own myself, even if it wasn't what was being reflected around me. So. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool to hear, and I definitely wanted to bring up the Gay Straight Alliance thing, because I think as far as leaving a legacy at a place that maybe, I mean, I'm sure obviously you had formative times and great friends at that school, but maybe a time that like you might have looked back on as not necessarily the golden time in your life to be able to have made a mark with the Greatest Straight Alliance and, you know, kind of walk in that room and be like...
Yeah, I go back and I visit the folks who are in the Gender Sexuality Awareness Club now. And it's really exciting. This, you know, like 20 plus kids in there. We got non-binary kids in there. Mm. And there's this big pride blanket that we sit on. And it's it really warms my heart. It's really exciting for me to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty dope.
As far as you're a solo artist. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a time where you were like, oh, I want to get into a group, you know, because I feel like a lot of the time people start off in groups and then kind of make their way. Mm-hmm. But you kind of skipped a step. Not that everybody starts in a group, but like,
interesting,
you know,
I never even thought of that.
You know, like, because I'm me coming, me being an artist and coming into myself as a solo artist and also coming into doing more group stuff. It's a different kind of conversation with yourself. I feel like you have as a songwriter when you're writing entire songs. Mm. And you've always written entire songs.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I skip the bridge, mind you.
That's fine. But like what about that do you feel like has helped make you who you are now as an artist? Or is that even something you're...
You know, I've never even really thought of it. I think I just started writing songs like in my mom's basement, on my sister's laptop with GarageBand. It was like very, just this is, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I met the Fantastic crew and the Jellyfish Recordings crew,
yeah,
and started making music with you guys. But we never really had a group that was just kind of like family.
Yeah.
That really supported me. And now I'm in a collective called Crystal Light Collective. We're six femmes based in Toronto and Montreal. And so that's a really nice family.
Cool.
We put on shows together. They actually have a show in Toronto July 12th at the Painted Lady. That Toronto, go check it out. I'm going to be in LA, but go and check it out.
Who's in this collective?
We have Soft Honey, who's an incredible poet. We have Tiger Wing, vocalist and songwriter producer. Shay Mara. We're all multidisciplinary, mm-hmm, but Shamar is also a vocalist, producer, makes jewelry, and kind of brought us all together. We have Jeanette King.
The homegirl. Shout out Jeanette.
I've known her since high school, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know she's in the collective until Shamara told me, and it was super trippy and beautiful. So synchronistic.
Had you been talking with her pre this?
No. Not for like years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I had met her a few years ago through just kind of like, I think maybe she's through like amazing. Dave Morin, or, and she was performing once on the street and I jumped in and,
she's,
you know.
Amazing.
Beautiful person.
Beautiful person.
So she's out in, she's out in Toronto
she's
as well.
She's in Montreal, actually. She's
in Montreal,
the
okay.
one of us that's in Montreal, yeah. And then we have Vika, who's an incredible singer-songwriter as well. Did I get everybody? Yes, I did. Jeanette, Shamara, Tiger Wing, Soft Honey, Vika, and myself.
I like those names. And it's Crystal Light Collective.
Correct.
I dig that. what do you use at home to make music? Do you make music at home, or do you make most of it like in studios with like someone who's recording you? Or
I do both.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, I actually have my little baby MIDI controller with me. It's like yay big. That's actually nice for when I'm in a park or something. And then I also have a King Korg like at my apartment in Toronto. I write on and I use Logic and yeah, so I'll create compositions like that. I also have really been getting back into writing over beats,
yeah,
when I have the right ones, but I prefer it when I'm in the studio with a producer. Yes.
Why is that? Is it just kind of a second set of ears?
I think it's just the vibe thing. I just like just feeling each other there, and then I can also be like, oh, let's do this with the drums. I can hop on. But I like it when there's someone else in charge of the sound design. That's something that I have, like I executive produced my first like full song this spring, and I realized how hard it is and how unpracticed I am in it. It was a very humbling experience. I'm glad I tried. But it's nice to be working with people who are more well versed in just bringing a whole composition and soundscape together, and then from there I can be like, let's bring this sample in here, let's do this with the keys, can we change it and have a lift right here, can I fuck with the drums, and then I'll do a top line. That's how I like to work. So
when you sit down to write a song, what's generally the first thing you want to lay down? Do you, I mean, I'm sure it comes from many different places, but do you like to, like, on Amber, she said she often likes to write over like drum tracks, like rhythm tracks.
Cool.
And then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it's a melody that comes first, or do you get like the backbone of it first, or is it just lyrics and an idea, and then, you know, whatever happens after that?
Usually the first two lines of the song will come as lyrics and melody, and that will kind of dictate where the rest of it goes.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it might not even, you know, it might not even need drums. If, 'cause I, like, a lot of your songs, like, that I used to hear when you first started writing music, or during the time that I knew you, then it didn't call for, like, a full band.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could have maybe been translated into that, but it was amazing to hear you be able to write full-fledged songs at 18, 19, like, that sat with themselves and spoke for themselves. Do you ever perform any of that stuff?
I don't find it as fulfilling, to be honest. When I perform, I really like to have nothing in front of me.
Mm.
But my crystals and the mic stand. And
right.
Then so I'll put them off to the side.
So you're not trying, gone are the days of you sitting there with the piano and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they will come back in little pieces. I've been up there with, like, I had a tom drum for a bit this spring.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. And it was, like, it was a very, like, call to action song that I'm going to be releasing shortly. It's called Sacrifice with DJ Agile. So it was nice to have that element. But again, I really like to be able to be present with the audience and with spirit and on my feet and dance and just, like, not worry, like, oh shit, I need to come in with the keys, you know.
Fair enough.
Or have something in front of me.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I like it better.
Should we get into some songs?
Yeah.
You into that?
Mm-hmm.
Panther Paws.
Cool.
Is there anything you want to say about the song in particular?
Yeah, this song, I released it last June, produced by Chin and Jetty, and got a music video out for it. And thank you for listening. They're padding on the hardwood, and I'm lost for words. Mm-hmm. Panther's eyes, I warned you I'd perpetuate the worst of all worlds. You are one in a billion, boy. Want to light my dark, and I know when I go, my panther will lead home. And I know when I go, my panther will lead home. If you know, you're the first one to light my. Storyboard, socialize, dictation got you fated to embrace the past. White supremacy took our love away. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. White supremacy took our love away. How could you believe in someone who looks like me? No melanin to hold the light in. My skin reflected back at you everything you had ever lost. You never trusted me, but I will always love you.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
How do you feel about Shanghai?
I feel good about it. I actually have some exciting news about this song that I'm not going to share with you yet.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm grateful for.
You heard it here first. Look out for something. This next one's called Shanghai off her That's album cool. Medicines. You listen to CITR 101.9.
It's actually the first song that I wrote off Medicines.
Did not know that.
Yes, with Potato Head People. Originally it was Nick Wisdom sent me the beat, and then Astrological hopped on.
Shouts out Potato Head People.
Shouts out Potato Head People. I said I'm not gonna be this young forever. It's true, a day will come when I feel under the weather. Cause I challenge me, I'm always gonna get better. And I know that those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter. I'm never running from my wallowing feelings. I take them as they come, I know they got their reasons. My body feels the drums as they promote my dealings. And I know that in time, I'm gonna be sharing new lights for real. Can you feel we're moving there? We already got so high. Yeah, we already got so high. Dang, we ain't bad at this step. We already got so high. Yeah, we already got so high. I'm not. It's gonna be this night for always. Said it's true, the day will fade when I am walking through hallways. And cause I honor me, I let myself get folly. And I know the truth and time they tell all. So I get by the tall tales. I'm never running from the body I'm living in. No, I take her as she is. I give her comfy feelings.
My body takes that love and turns it into healing. And I know that in time I'm gonna be shining new light for real. Already got so high. Dang, we ain't bad at this high. We already got so high. And we already got so high. I'm never gonna know just what to think until I don't at all. I'm never gonna know just what to think until I don't at all.
I love that song.
That's so fun.
That's probably so fun. One of my probably top two off medicine. Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Definitely in part because it's, you know, it's a familiar production.
Yeah.
Team that I know and love.
Yes.
But also just the vibe of it.
Cool.
You know, we already got so high. You spent some time doing a little video in Shanghai,
mm-hmm,
for that.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? And how was your time in Shanghai? What was that? What was all that about?
It was cool. I got invited to sing at Shanghai Fashion Week. So
cool.
Yeah. So that was a really fun trip. Actually, it was super lit. We stayed in such a crazy hotel.
What was crazy about it?
It was just like 5-star and smelled really good. You know.
that's what buffet. I would expect a 5-star hotel.
Great buffet.
A lot of hotels I like. I appreciate the accommodations, but they're not so smelling great sometimes.
Yeah, no, I can still smell it.
Cool.
It was beautiful. But yeah, no, that was fun. And I did the music video with Colby Rex O'Neill of Lotus Eaters Films.
Peace to Colby for Lotus Eaters. He did our Eloquent Folk. Dang it, what's his name? The other fellow. They parted ways creatively, but... the other guy, worked on that for us, and that was part of Lotus Eaters. And through that time is when I met Colby as well. Also went to audio engineering school with Colby's ex-partner in his group, Broken Logic.
Oh, no way.
Small World. So, like,
Small World.
That happened in full circle. Props to Colby and the Lotus Eaters squad.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. It was a fun trip. And then we filmed the rest of it in Sun Yat-sen Gardens here in Vancouver. And we had Hip and Bone dress me for
Hip and Bone.
Hip and Bone, yeah. It was it's a Canadian like fashion label. It was fun. It was good. It was a good time.
Can be fun. Also, videos can be kind of like nerve-wracking because you're like, why is all this happening for me? Like, it's just me.
You know what I mean?
Everyone's like...
It's all art, though, right?
It is. But I just remember, like, the few shoots I've done where it's, like, you know, like, a crew is there to shoot it.
Like, Energies, that was such
like
a
Energies,
fun
that
shoot.
Was a fun shoot.
That was so fun.
But that was kind of, like, weird for me, to have, like, extras, and I just hadn't dealt with anything
that
like that.
That was, like, full scale.
I was like, I don't deserve this. And it's like, no, well, I'm paying for this to happen, so I guess, like, I made this happen. But, yeah, it was interesting.
Go watch Energies on YouTube, you guys.
Yes, which...
Me and A-Ro.
Came out...
Owns a truck.
Did that come out on Nate's album?
Astrological's album.
Yeah, and... you know, in the future when I have a low EP come out, it might make an appearance just because I'm really proud of that song.
It's great to make an appearance.
I want to talk about... Thank you. I want to talk about music, and I want to talk about sexuality in music and how It's obviously prevalent. It's prevalent in any entertainment industry. How do you navigate that, being a woman, being a queer woman, and being someone who maybe...
Being a Scorpio.
Being a Scorpio. And yeah, exactly. You know, it's an important part. Of I we're all sexual beings, but like, how do you navigate just wanting to be viewed as maybe just an artist and seen through the art, but as at the same time knowing that the way you look and the way you present yourself plays hugely into how you're going to be received,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, do you, you know, that, and you dress up and you dress up nice and you feel beautiful,
mm-hmm.
But how have you experienced maybe prejudice in the ways of, have you experienced somebody being like, oh, you're like, you're cool, and then maybe you're like, well, I'm queer or something, and then mm-hmm. you get different attention, because I've heard time and time again people get treated different if they don't put out some sort of image of what a female hip hop artist looks like or sounds like or mm-hmm. presents like. How do you feel comfortable identifying and existing in this sexist industry, basically?
real. Lately I've just been identifying as a fairy.
Cool.
That feels good for me. I am who I am. I'm different every moment of every day, and my sexuality is different every moment of every day, and not just my sexuality in terms of who I'm attracted to, but my sexuality just is how that energy, the sacral energy, moves in my body and through my body and through my music. So it's a great gift for me to be in a situation where I feel safe to live as a free sexual being and to have a rich and full, honest sexual relationship with myself. And have that reflected in my music. So I've actually been talking a lot more and being a lot more open about my sexuality in the new music that I've been writing, which is going to be coming out at the end of the summer. And it's been super liberating and super fun. And again, I'm so grateful that I am safe to do that, because I have, you know, brothers and sisters and non-binary, you know, folks and relations around the world who are still not able to do that. And, you know, they might even be living next to me, but it's like they just can't do it in their families.
Culturally, whatever it might be.
And especially as a queer individual, I feel like it's my responsibility almost to enjoy my freedom and to express it, and I think that opens doors as well for more of us to be free in more different ways, which really just means accepting who we are and sharing that in a way that feels safe and real for us. That's a great gift that I'm really happy I get to enjoy. And in terms of navigating sexism, honestly, I feel like I don't come up against it much because I don't play into it much. When it does come up, I deal with it. And the people who I have in my corner deal with it with me. I have good men around me who I work with who check them and around them. So I'm grateful for that.
And that's very important as far as
very important
allyship and
intersectionality. Good allies around me. I love them.
Yeah. And it's easy to fall short, because I know my experiences. There have been many times where I haven't felt comfortable speaking out, whether it
for sure.
was some sort of racial debate in a room full of white people that I consider my friends,
mm-hmm.
or the sexist comments that mm-hmm. Are in a room full of people that I consider my friends.
Mm-hmm. I think when we can challenge each other in a compassionate way, that can go miles and miles and miles. Like, I had a long conversation on a hike today with my aunt about non-binary pronouns. And I was just like super compassionate, and she was super curious, and I just held my truth and my understanding of they them pronouns, and by the end of the hike, she hugged me and she was like, I learned so much from you today. I wish this day could just go on forever. And it was not like that at the beginning. She really didn't understand it, but I think she really got it by the end. So it was cool for me to be like, yes, like when we can be present in conversations instead of checking out with frustration, but when we can be present and compassionate. And I kept saying to her, I was like, your viewpoint and your experience is totally valid. And that's cool that you feel that way. And did you know that we've been using they, them pronouns to refer to singular individuals forever?
Forever. Like it's, that's, in English, that's a legit normal way to refer to people.
Like, yo, I went without to the doctor today. They had crazy news for me. Like, oh my God, what'd they say?
Yeah. It wasn't like, what'd like, he say? You know?
Exactly.
I think that's important. And it's funny that that gets brought up because I just received an email from our lovely program manager, Madeline Thompson. And apparently, a band had written in that they had been misgendered, or just the terminology was improper. They had been called a all female punk group, and for the most part that was true. But one of the people in this group identifies as they them, so it was just something to check up on for all the programmers, and not that whoever said that meant it in a malicious way.
Exactly.
It's just it's really easy to kind of forget based on society telling us, always telling us that it's okay to just be like he, she, whatever, whatever. Yeah, that it's a binary. Yeah. So it was just kind of a little reminder. And even in the email, it actually breaks down the definitions of cisgender. And,
nice.
And I just thought that was a really cool email to get today. And I was like, man, that's, you know, so props to CITR for, I mean, and you'll see it all around the station. Like, this is a, you know, this is no transphobia here, no homophobia here. Like, just we're here to support each other and
awesome.
Allow all people to exist. And there's even an accessibility committee where we, you know, I think once a week they'll get on air and talk about how we can make places like spaces more accessible, you know, because it's like, oh, you have you beautiful designed building, but there's no way for a guy in a wheelchair to get in here. Mm-hmm. How can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, even it gets brought up with our transit system, the Compass cards.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have use to your arms, how are you scanning your card? Right. That's something that they didn't factor in.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think they have some sort of workaround. I don't know what that is exactly, but I think there's a way. But it's just, it's easy for that to go unrepresented or uncalculated.
Yeah.
And I appreciate CITR for always taking the time. Every show has to start off with land acknowledgement. And another thing that she mentioned in the email, she's like, okay, we have to have FemCon, we have to have CanCon. But
FemCon, that's sick. I've never heard the term FemCon.
Yeah, that's a CITR thing. That's a, I'm sure it happens at other radio stations, but that's a CITR mandated thing. It's not the law, but that's what they want to get down with here.
Blessed
and then,
be. That's awesome.
Apparently, there's a argument to be made that like that isn't trans inclusive to be like FemCon, because then you know then it's okay.
What does Fem stand for?
Fem.
Right? Is it female? Is it feminine?
Someone who presents
as a female who is making music, essentially like an artist.
Yeah.
It's just but if someone who's identifying as a female.
A female identified person.
Yeah, I think that's for FemCon, that's what that means.
Cool.
Fem has I think a more
many
intricate
use,
definition.
Yeah.
And that alone, when I'm picking some of this music, I'm like, well, how do I know that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know this person's personal life.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about maybe change our policies and make it so that you have to have a certain amount of, you know, trans-identified music on your show. Because why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
at this point, there's nothing saying that we have to play anything of that variety. And I just think that's important to create that discussion.
Agreed. That's awesome. Thank you.
You mentioned briefly about safe spaces. What does that mean to you? What is your safe space, and how is safe space defined in your brain?
Wow, wow, wow! Interesting.
And like, does it even exist?
Wow, I feel like I've felt pretty safe in my life, and that's a great, great privilege. And it's a privilege every moment that I feel safe. So it's not like one thing. It's like every moment is a gift in that way. And for me, the times when I feel least safe are usually because I've been denying my intuition in some way. So I've gotten myself into a situation that I know is not right for me in my gut, or I've been perpetuating and allowing thoughts in my mind that feel unsafe for me. So that's one way that I will think about safe space. And then, of course, there's, I think, just having an awareness around respect and equity in a space is another way that I can feel safe in a space. So, like, if there's posters up about, you know, no transphobia, no homophobia, no racism, no sexism, etc., then I'm like, okay, this space has a consciousness around the, you know, white supremacist patriarchy that we are living in, and because we have an awareness around it and we're being honest about that, we can be aware of how that functions in all of us, and then meet each other with an intention of deeper compassion and empathy than the white supremacist patriarchy has written for us.
Even if you don't show up, I feel like, to the table with all of the tools or all of the knowledge to be really, you know, non-transphobic, like non-racist, because as Amber said in the last interview, she's like, we're all racist.
We are.
We all do, and we say racist stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to try and be like, to even like suggest you don't see color or is I mean, it's a fallacy, and you're kind of exposing yourself as not having done some very basic research on these very real.
It's important. All of our experiences are important and valid.
Yeah. And you're not going to look at the, you might, like, I'd hope you wouldn't look at somebody of a different race and just assume things about them. You know what I mean?
That their experience is the same as yours, because it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't assume how it's different either, though.
Exactly.
It's just about listening, I think.
And and having sympathy in, because there's always going to be some relatable factor. You both came from parents. You know what I mean?
You both came from a vaginal canal.
You both came from vagina, right? So it's like, he's the...
the birth canal.
Exactly. You both sucked upon breast. You know, maybe. But there's a lot of commonality in just being a human that it kind of blows my mind how divisive we are in society. But then at the same time, in my community and the arts community, there seems to be more community and togetherness than ever.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that it's just exciting when we can come back to the fact that we're all having a human experience. And again, curiosity and compassion, I think, go super, super far, including with how I relate to myself. Like, when I'm just checking in with myself, like being genuinely curious, do I feel anxious right now? Where in my body do I feel anxious? Okay, that's super real. That's okay that I feel that way. That compassion generally melts what I'm feeling, at least to a certain degree. And I think it is applicable to how we relate to each other. You know, just like the convo with my aunt today, I'm curious about her resistance to neutral pronouns, and her experience is valid. And just like the experience of my non-binary friends who use they and them is super valid, even if they dress femme and they look femme and they were assigned female at birth and they wear lipstick and heels and skirts and look super cute and still use they them pronouns, their experience being non-binary is like super valid, and so is my aunt's. And so is mine. All of our experiences are valid. We're humans just doing the human thing as best we can. And I think compassion and curiosity go really, really far away in bridging the differences that we all have in our experiences as aliens in flesh puppet bodies flesh on puppet the earth. 2018. Here we are. Here we are.
And a part of all those discussions is being in touch with your vulnerability and... being able to kind of expose yourself in a way that might feel uncomfortable, because I feel like a lot of growth comes from those vulnerable moments. I saw interview, or it may have been during a performance with No Name. She's a female MC.
Incredible phenomenal artist.
Yeah, phenomenal light voice. Gosh. Such a cool style, like very uniquely her own, which definitely goes the distance. And I've heard her on Chance the Rapper and little, and I've always been like, who is this girl? And I know what she sounds like, obviously is hugely important. She said, "Let's heal the world with vulnerability." Mm. What is that? How does that resonate with you? And like, what does that mean? And what does vulnerability stand for in your life?
I think that a lack of vulnerability for me implies shame. And shame is toxic, generally speaking, for me. So when I can be vulnerable, again, like starting with myself, like, yo, the truth is I'm having a low energy day and I'm having lots of pessimistic thoughts. I feel anxious. I feel shame about this, this, and this in my life right now. And naming that and accepting it and remembering that it will cycle again and that I will feel better another day and then I'll feel shitty another day mm-hmm. and then I'll feel better another day, and having compassion for those natural cycles, just like it happens in the earth. We have winter and everything dies and is cold as fuck and you're gonna die if you're outside too, and then there's summertime and it keeps going like
everything
that.
Everything comes to pass.
It is what it is. It's meant to be that way. So I think when I can face my shame like that, then vulnerability for me, it does become a tool for connection and for healing in community.
What would you tell a young Claire? Or would you tell, like, just about to hit, like, maybe Claire at an age that would be able to receive the information? Not like, I was going to be like private school Claire, but like you would have been like a wee child.
Five, four.
Like, so let's say, you know, maybe coming in terms with your sexuality and just becoming a little bit more informed of the ways of the world. What would you tell that girl who maybe wasn't or was confused about what the heck's going to go on for the next 10 years, 15 mm-hmm. years, the rest of your life? What would you tell her given the knowledge you've acquired since?
I think for me, like, the Claire that would need it most, like, when I was 14, I was raped for my virginity. I was just entering an eating disorder, self-harming. I was, you know, tried to take my life a couple times. It was a tough time for me. A lot of us, like, go through times like that when we're around that age and other times in our life, but that was when I really could have used the wisdom of my feelings are valid, I think, and I think that I kept them to myself in an effort to protect my family, and that was quite harmful for me. So I think just recognizing that my feelings are valid, my experiences are valid, and I'm worthy of being seen and heard. I think that's probably what I would tell myself. Yeah.
And your feelings are valid.
Yeah, and all of ours are. And again, that comes back to the curiosity and compassion. They're valid when we share them with ourselves. They're valid when we share them with our communities through our music. When we share them with our lovers, our partners, our friends, our collectives, our parents. Our experiences are valid. Everyone's experience is valid.
Shows?
Yes. I'm performing at Base Coast.
Yes.
On Saturday in Erica D's set at Sleigh Bay, 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. It's going to be lots of fun. We just had rehearsal today. And yeah, come through. If you're at Base Coast, come by Sleigh Bay at 9 p.m. on Saturday night.
yeah. Base Coast, I will not be there. I would love to. But it's not going to happen.
It's okay.
Not gonna happen. Maybe one of these years. I just saw you at Jazz Fest.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
I went to Jazz Fest with Chelsea. We spent 2 days checking out a bunch of stuff, and on I think it was the same day as Erica. Yeah, definitely. We saw Kimmortal.
Nice.
And she did a beautiful set.
Shout out to
She had Immigrant Lessons dance crew out there. Jason,
Melissa. Saw a photo of that.
Yeah.
They're so incredible.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. Your mic's good to go. What was your experience at that show? What did you take from that?
It was extremely loving. I feel like with Comortal and all the people in Immigrant Lessons, they definitely always want to deliver a raw message, but it's always based around love, which is what I think we need, because anger isn't really going to get us anywhere. And then there was also some people there with some signs kind of protesting what's going on with ICE right now. And this white woman just walks over to this,
a volunteer, maybe.
Yeah, to this person of color who had a sign about just what's going on with ICE, and basically told her that she couldn't hold it up, and it was quite silly. And then they gave me a sign as well, and then no one said anything to me, which is just completely ridiculous in my opinion. And I just kind of wanted
to tell...
You're
white, for those who can't see her.
Yeah, and I'm white, so the white privilege in that, I just kind of... Yeah, but we all kept quiet and everyone was polite, but I kind of wanted to tell the lady, did you know that we're at a Comortal show?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I felt like almost like the volunteer thought that these girls or these people were like protesting the whole event, when I could tell that they were there to see Comortal and friends of hers, more than likely. So I thought she was almost like, hey, don't stir stuff up.
Feathers.
Yeah, don't ruffle feathers. By the end of the show,
no feathers are being ruffled.
They make a speech, like Comortal makes this, you know, there's this like a clip of what I assume is a
recording.
Yeah, First Nations man just talking about his struggles, and she turned around and she had this hand-painted shirt that she had done like the night before of like an upside down maple leaf, and then she turned around and said, "Give Native people their stolen land back," and she stood there with her fist in the air. And the dancers had their peace signs up, and it's like,
yes!
And it was just so powerful. And then they even took the time to clarify. I mean, I thought the message was well articulated. But, you know, there's a lot of family and white folks in the crowd. So,
and people do walk away as soon as that sort of thing happens. They just walk away.
They're like, oh, it's one of these. Yeah. It's like a protest thing, social justice warrior thing. It's like, no... it's an artist. It's an artist, you know, speaking their truth. And yeah. and you know as well as I do, that's what we appreciate about artists. That's why we come to Jazz Fest, because we're seeing, you know, it's an international festival. So I think a lot of people were well receptive. But Alyssa from Immigrant Lessons even took the time to come out and be like, listen, we're not trying to offend anybody. And if you were offended, you know, we apologize. We're always coming from a place of love. But this is a real thing, that if you're going to acknowledge, you know, the 150 years of essentially colonialism, that's a celebration. You know, you can say it's 150 years of Canada, but like, Canada's been here
as a land,
and these people have been here for tens of thousands of years. So it's like, what are we celebrating? What is 150? Like, if you just look at a history book, 150 signifies the beginning of some horrible stuff, yeah. Right? So it's not like we're trying to change history. It's like we're trying to just bring some stuff to light, right? And it needs to be acknowledged. So I appreciate that she. I mean, I bet the festival organizers knew she was going to do something like that. So I mean. In saying that, I hope that they weren't blindsided by her righteousness, but props to Comortal in doing that.
Yeah, and if they were, then so be it, you know.
Then perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's ideal. Jazz Fest Montreal is going on right now, and I heard this thing where there's this band called Slav or Slave. I don't know. It's S-A-L-V with like a... Yeah, and they were invited to come. They've been announced for quite some time. And apparently a part of their live show is to do slave songs, which I'm sure could be, which are powerful, a part of history. Mm. But another part of their show is to dress up as like iron workers or railroad workers or cotton pickers, slaves. Mm. It's a part of, like, they dress up. And there had been much protest leading up to it, and it's happening this weekend. And they were, Montreal Jazz Festival defended them playing.
Are they Afro-Indigenous?
Yeah, I was
I don't think
ask.
They are. I'm not positive that I.
That would be good to find out, because I think that definitely. White people or anyone that's not of color is just not in the place to ever.
I have the strangest feeling it's white people, but that definitely does factor into it.
Hugely.
I think that hugely factors into it.
I think that they weren't of African descent.
I'm gonna look this up.
Please do. But there was a backlash, and apparently a person of color was even punched in the audience during the performance for protesting.
That's really sad.
Yeah. And then after that, I think a few artists canceled their gigs. Moses Sumney was like, I can't.
Moses Sumney's fucking incredible.
He's like, I can't support a festival that doesn't acknowledge the protest of this act.
And there's obviously an immense amount of hurt based around it. And yeah, that's.
Yeah. So, I just feel like an international jazz festival should be a little bit more.
That's
tactful, crazy. Because just that imagery, and I would think even if they were of African descent, can be very triggering and harmful to people that don't want to think about maybe their relatives or grandparents having gone through.
It should come with a trigger warning for sure. I wouldn't say that it's something that is maybe just appropriate to be performed.
I mean, I don't know if I would agree. I think that art is art, and I think that if you're going to make art about your history or your people's history, I think that that's valid. You can share that in public space. Just like, you know, Kim Wardle and Immigrant Lessons was doing something that people might feel uncomfortable about. It is different, of course, but I think if Slav, with this band, was Afro-Indigenous, yeah. And they were doing something that was cathartic for them and healing and representing and holding space for a part of their history, then that's beautiful and totally valid, I think, personally. However, it sounds like that was not the case, and like they're not.
Based on this article I pulled up, it features a white woman singing songs composed by black slaves. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a no-go.
And I think it's part, like, play.
Huh.
But raised a lot of eyebrows.
I'm sure it did.
I
just think that the people of color should have really gotten their, like, dues if they were protesting that. It's really sad that there was actually, it created more violence against people of color. It doesn't sound like it was a dope situation.
And from what I'm reading, apparently they've since canceled, or apologized.
Okay.
At the very least. Okay. And they were, festival team has been shaken and strongly affected by all comments received. We'd like to apologize to those who were hurt. It was not our intention.
And okay, well, that's good that they apologized. But do better. Do better.
Yeah, it's. I think this whole discussion is just coming to just being aware of other people's perspectives and being a little bit more just conscientious.
Yeah.
What's next? What's next for Claire? What's on the horizon?
I'm going to LA on Monday night for 2 weeks. Going to do a bunch of writing. Going to write with Miami Horror down there. And a bunch of other friends, new and old. So that's going to be really fun. And then heading back to Toronto, July 23rd. Do some more writing. Got lots of music on the go. I'm writing so much, and it just is so cathartic. It feels so good. To be prioritizing creation again.
Yeah.
But more so than prioritizing creation, I'm really prioritizing tranquility and the peace in my body. And that opens a big tube where blessings come through. And I'm really grateful that that's the case and that I can choose to cultivate my sense of calm. So that's the main thing for me right now, is cultivating my calm moment to moment, day to day. But second to that definitely is creating music and finishing songs. So I actually have a song I wrote a week ago today,
mm-hmm.
with Black Edge, yes. in Montreal. And
Should we drop it?
Maybe I would share it with you guys. It's like still hecka rough. Again, there's no bridge. I said sometimes I don't wear bridges. I don't have a bridge yet. That's how new it is.
That's fine.
But yeah, I enjoyed writing it. I enjoy singing it. And yeah, I thought maybe I would drop it for you guys.
Let's do it.
A little demo.
CITR 101.9 with Claire Mortefi and Chelsea MacArthur. We have an exclusive track upcoming, produced by The Black Edge. Check it out.
And there's a sample that I put in the beginning of my time in Greece. We're singing to the Ancient Mother with 20 elders. Ancient Mother, we taste your tears. Hey, we got pink pillars diving into the bowl. Salted caramel, cappuccinos cold at the mall. Brain freeze, heart freeze, I could fall for ya. It's a gray morning and the cloud is a sheet. I'm a cuddle beneath it, all you see is my feet. Hot air, thick air, humidity, I could breathe on ya. But I stay grounded. My only lover is the sky. I stay grounded. My older brother is the night. Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. White cotton blowing snow in my hair. All the trees are my friends, and we've got nothing to wear. What leaves? Don't leave if you care. For ya. Fresh lavender, you're tender and sweet. Pluck a bloom from the stem, crunch a bud in my teeth. Light feelings at least. Yeah, I could feel for ya. But I stay grounded. The sky, I stay grounded. My older brother is the night. Yes, he is. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Title,
Stay Grounded.
That's beautiful.
Working title, we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate you exposing us to some new.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me too.
Yeah, any idea of when that might come out or be able to be heard?
We'll see.
No guarantees yet, people.
No guarantees yet, folks. Don't hold your breath. And we'll release it one day. We have a stream of singles that are going to be coming out starting at the end of the summer. So we'll see what number in line this puppy is.
Frick yeah.
Freaking rights, buddy.
Sweet. I mean, way over my time.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, well, that's just how it goes. I told her, I was like, when you're speaking to interesting people, you go over your time. So I've yet to capture the elusive staying within my time and doing an interview. So I'm pretty much at the end of my questions. Didn't really have anything left. Our conversation went well through everything that I had to say. Cool. I'm sure I'll come up with stuff after I leave. Like, oh no, I should have said. What would you like to say to kids about artistry? You know, you said something to young Claire. What would you say to a young kid who wants to start making music?
Make your art.
That's
make, make your art, art. Yes. We are all creators, and it's great to create. Take time for it. Make time for it. Mm. Even if you're just sharing it with yourself at first, it's a great gift to welcome creation through you. And I pray that you do share it with those you love and with those you don't know, too. It's a gift to everyone. Your vulnerability is a gift. Your bravery, your courage is a gift. It is. It's courageous just to live in 3D on Earth and to create art and share that is just a whole other layer of blessing for everyone around you. And even vibrationally, the people on the other side of the earth who will never know your name or your face. So thank you for creating. And you are enough, and your art is enough. And that's the beginning and end of it. You're enough.
You're enough. I think at the Comortal show, she has like a hook where she's...
It goes...
How's it go?
The Sad Femme Club, baby, you are enough.
Yeah, come on.
It's the best.
It's
the best.
That popped right into my head when you said you're enough.
Welcome
like,
to the Sad Femme Club, baby, you are enough. If I lose my shit right now. Yeah.
That's cool. A hype song. Yeah,
oh, I love her.
I can't wait to get her in here or just hang out with her.
Yeah.
We've been trying to do that for a while. Cool. Final shout outs?
Final shout-outs. My team, I love you. Mike Luffel, Brandon Brown, Stefan Lussier, Full CC. Love you guys. Thank you so much for having my back. And, yes, also to Crystal Light Collective and all those who love and support me. Also, my Spotify listens went up 50% last month, so thank you so much to those
wow.
who have been listening.
Cool. Wicked.
I'm grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you for taking in the art and... again, yeah, I just want to end off with you are enough to all the listeners. You are enough. Okay. Okay.
We're half an hour over. Out of these three songs you've chosen, what do you want to end on for Claire's picks?
Oh gosh. You know, let's end on the Bilal song. Oh, because I just love it.
The song is All That I Am off of Firstborn Second, one of the 2001, one of the most legendary, praised soul albums of that time. And I think had like a little bit of J Dilla and Dr. Dre influence back then. Yeah, it's been nice to talk to you.
It's been great.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you've been listening to CITR 101.9 out of UBC on Musqueam Land. And this has been episode 44. See you next week.
Yeah. Hella fire. Heaven fire.
Sing the game for me.
Sing it.
All that I am.
Of a black man's gone. I see you laughing with swollen eyes. Like beat a mother when you're playing to lose inside. Dreams deferred, visions blurred, the hustle's earned. And anyone who would listen, respect is earned. A lesson's learned. How many sleepless nights have you? How many shiftless days have you watched it turn to fade away? Or while you lose all trace to backtrack. Try to be right and exact, but like a paper, I make a nigga act like a nigga, forget daddy black. Moms is working two jobs, pops is worshiping two guys. Through hard times, at the bottom times, wondering what's on God's mind. Barren Street.
breeze from the east, souls give grace. Diamonds reflect, pimped out days. When my uncle lays his game down, he's in the galaxy of game and never came down. He's from the same town, I mean planning is down. You know, down goings and iceberg slam. Had a precious whole angel, sharpest in the stable. Blonde wig with the pierced label. He branded her as Angel. In disguise, eating his pockets and feeding him lies. After a few broken arms and black eyes, she wrote a book to make his favorite vice. Sent his soul to a system where he never breathed again. Down to earth, just to leave again. Bringing light to the truth. Make it real love for you.